This is Sergeant Brown of the Public Information Section, Percy Jones Army Hospital. Private Reeds here from the 7th Division. Reeds, we'd like to have you say a word or two about your experiences in North Korea.
Well, we relieved the Marines. We're 5 miles out in front of the lines, and it'll be our rear flank. Chinese attacked in the morning, late November. Don't remember the exact date, but...
That was after the Chinese breakthrough, is that correct?
And first they played taps, nice, sweet and clear on a bugle. Then they started on the drums and whistles. And there were 3 of us in the foxhole for air, and my rock and me. And Rer went out to see what exactly was going on, so we'd have a good idea. He took a look over the hill, and he took out down the hill toward M Company. So it must have been pretty bad. I watched him go down the hill, and I heard somebody yelling Chinese at me, and I turned around, and one enemy zeroed in. I thought, stick my hands up. No, it'd be crazy to get shot anyhow, so. Hollered hut for at him. I guess I surprised him. He didn't shoot. I flopped down, grabbed my rifle, dropped it, and grabbed it again. Eventually shot him. Then I moved up, looked over the edge, and looked like they were coming in company formation. So I hollered for the squad. Couldn't contact any of them. And I heard the Chinese going through the other foxholes. Sound like they're getting a big kick out of going through the equipment. I threw what grenades we had over the hill as quick as I could and just emptied my rifle. Told my boy we were gonna run down to M Company down there. We took off down the hill. Got down with M Company, and they were worried about me leaving my position, but nobody else up there, so I wasn't worried about it. It was in a house with a couple sheds and a fence around it, and they were using it for sort of fort. And what was left of K Company was dug in a line out to our right. They start coming at us, blowing their whistles. You shoot as many as you want, and you come up in the same place, and you just run out of ammo. And I run out of ammo on my M1. I just took the carbine away from my rock, used it. And we, after the attack finally was over, and we were just standing around talking, just a few snipers around. And they're good on their mortars. They dropped one right in. And I was standing there. There was me and I don't know who all, the major from battalion. And he got it at the same time. And he dropped a 60 mortar in. I got shrapnel, so. It was about 5 days. They just kept attacking every day. And I was inside the building with the wounded, and they decided they were out of all recoilless and mortar ammo, so no rations, so they decided they were going to fight their way out, put all us wounded in sleeping bags and load us in the trucks. Started out. All down the road, Chinese and all just standing beside the road, firing point blank at the trucks. But one driver, the truck got stuck, and he just climbed out and took off. So one of the wounded, he climbed up front, and he could drive a truck. He wasn't wounded too bad. He drove the truck. he got it out of the sand and back on the road. Then they go and got tough, so they just abandoned the trucks and they went on fighting their way through. We were there 2 days just sitting there. Chinese come by, they didn't bother us. One come by, he could even speak English. And wished us luck and hope we didn't meet any bad Chinese. But, you know, 2 days later, they come by, there was three of them. Nobody was expecting anything. It was pretty warm out that day. It must have been about 40 degrees. The snow was melting a little bit. And the guys were sitting there about half out of their sleeping bag. I was all the way in mine. And they were sitting there, and we still had some cigarettes and just a few matches. We'd already were all awake and smoke a cigarette together. He just come up with a carbine and started shooting them. GIs just sat there and took it, didn't say a word or make a face, but Rocky got down on his knees and pleaded with them and prayed with them, but they shot him anyhow. Thought they shot me, he ripped the sleeping bag, but I'd grown and roll over and he thought I was dead. They went on. They burned the truck in front of us. It had about 30 wounded in it. They just poured gas on it and burned it.
Didn't you crawl away at that time, later?
Later.
Escape?
Later, about 3 days later, some more come by. They were searching the bodies and they felt I was warm. I played dead, but they felt I was warm. And took me out of the sleeping bag and they searched me and threw me down the road and planted a boot in the back of my head and ground my face in the road. And then they threw me on the stack of wounded and took a carbine and tried to knock the back of my head in, but I played dead again. He thought I was dead. They went on. So as soon as I couldn't hear him jabbering anymore, I crawled down, rolled down beside the road in the ditch, and grabbed a small tree and tried to stand up. Done about 15-step dance, fell down. tried it again, and fell down. And was going to crawl out. And I heard him jabbering again, so I had to crawl back up on the road and lay down and play dead again until he went by. I said, "God, if it's your will, just leave me get out of here and have anything else." They had about everything else. They took everything but what clothes I had on. I started crawling. Go about me. When they searched me, I had on two pair of pants, and he had the pink pants unbuttoned. He fell down around my ankle. I was crawling, and go about 15 feet and roll over my back and kick the snow out of me. It was acting like a snowplow.
How long did he crawl then?
All night and part of the morning.
And did you finally contact our own friendly group?
No, I got out in the ice in the reservoir and crawled out in the reservoir. And a Chinese come by, he must have been about the same position I was. And he saw me and I had one hand that was banged up when he beat me and had it sticking in my pile jacket. He must have thought I had a weapon or something. First Chinese I ever saw running, he just cut out running across the ice and didn't stop until he hit the side. And then, saw a GI and he didn't know if I was Chinese or what from the distance. He was circling around me and I hollered, "Hey, are you a GI?" And he come over, he was wounded in the stomach or the side. Pretty bloody, but he could walk. And I asked him if he could walk in the snow and write, "Hurry, help," because the planes fly off low around there. He'd done it. And the Marine planes were flying all over the reservoir in a small town close by there, throwing rockets in. And one of them saw us, and he kept circling low to see if we were GIs, and he waved like mad at him. I lay there on my back, kicked my feet, and waved my arms. The other guy stood there and waved his arms. So three planes come in, and they flew around us and kept flying low. They were about 20 feet off the ice, and machine gun in the hills and throwing rockets into them so the Chinese wouldn't come down the ice. He radioed in, and Colonel Beale, I think his name was, he came out in the Jeep patrol. They said we'd have to go up the ice to the Jeeps, and I started crawling again. He saw me crawling, so he brought his Jeep down, picked me up, and set me in the seat of the Jeep. We went back to their lines. He put me right on a plane, flew me to Hamhung.
Then you were evacuated from there back to Japan?
Yes.
And then on into Korea, is that correct?
Then no.
Back to the United States from Japan.
Yeah, from Japan. All the way, the Red Cross has been a wonderful help. They've been helping me all the way.
Well, thank you very much, Reese, for that story. We appreciate it. We admire your courage, and we're all pulling for you.